Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Welcome to another Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt here with David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. David, great to talk with you once again. How are you this week?
I'm doing really well this week, Walter. Looking forward to today's show. We're going to fill them up with a little Social Security information.
Well, you know, it's got to be, David, I would imagine, maybe the most popular topic somebody has questions about when it comes to retirement planning. I mean, you obviously meet with people every day. Would you agree with that, or at least it's in the top five?
It's amazing how much disinformation or lack of information is out there about Social Security. So it's kind of fun to, you know, be super conversant in it and then get to kind of straighten out the way people think about it. So it's a super good topic and a really common topic in my business.
I kind of view it as like the barrier question or the entry question to the whole retirement planning puzzle. Like Social Security is where a lot of people start, right? Because you at least know you've got that. If nothing else, you've got some Social Security. It's just a matter of kind of figuring out, okay, how much do I take or when am I going to take it? But often we end up finding that you don't answer that question first. That has to actually wait a little while. And we're going to get into that a little bit on today's show. So we're going to unveil the top five Social Security misunderstandings. Since it's such a important part of the retirement planning process, we want to make sure we're clear on all these different things. So first one,
David. Off the top, so I had a fun dinner with a nephew down in Texas a couple weeks ago. He's a regular listener to these podcasts. So not only do I want to give him a shout out, but I also want to say, he told me during dinner, you know, Uncle Dave, sometimes at the beginning of these podcasts, I listen to them when I'm exercising. And sometimes when I know they're going to be about old people, I kind of shut it off. So we have a lot of 20 and 30 something listeners. So here's what I want you to do. If you're getting ready to shut this off, do yourself a favor and go back and listen to maybe like podcast 21, Foolproof Way to Retire Well Off. Go back to number 33, Roth or traditional IRAs. Those are things you probably ought to listen to two or three or four times before they actually hit. And honestly, you're right. Social Security questions are not, you're not going to care about for about 20 or 25 years. So do yourself a favor, fast forward through this one, and then go back and pick up number 21 or number 33.
Unless you're just, you know, a geek like me and like to learn about this kind of stuff.
There you go. Well, there's that too.
Exactly. All right. So top five Social Security misunderstandings. Number one is this belief that Social Security is going broke. I was watching do you remember John Stossel, by the way,
oh,
David?
You bet.
I'm a big John Stossel fan. I love the way he reports and all of his work. I wish we had a lot of journalists that followed his model at least a little bit more. I just happened to be recently watching a video that he did, and it was about Social Security, actually. And he was talking a little bit about kind of, you know, how it's set up, similar to our discussion here, but just kind of from a totally different angle. But it was interesting because he was doing those man on the street interviews, just interviewing everyday people. And to kind of to your point, he was asking young people about Social Security. And it was obvious that people weren't caring about it. In fact, one of them said, I don't know, I'm too young to worry about it. but one of them said, you know, well, it's not going to be there for me anyway when I get older, so who cares? So that kind of gets to this point. Social Security going broke, is that truly a misunderstanding, or are we kind of dealing in some reality there?
Well, it's kind of in between. So every so often, the last time they had major changes to Social Security is back in 1982. There will certainly be more changes coming up because the number of retirees is going up versus the number of people that are working. So Social Security, there, you hear about the trust fund, the Social Security Trust Fund. That does not exist. Those are borrowings, Treasury bills, notes, and bonds that our government has borrowed from the Social Security Administration. There is no trust fund, number one. Social Security is a pay-as-you-go retirement system that workers are paying retirees during their retirement. Here's a couple of problems with it, and I want to do this fairly quickly, but it's important to have this foundation. Economics are way different than when it was first created. So it was created back in 1935, FDR, the New Deal thing. Back then, there were 40 workers for every one retiree. Today, there are 3 workers for every one retiree. Massively different amount of people paying in versus those taking out. Here's another thing. Back in the late 30s, you couldn't take Social Security any earlier than age 65, but life expectancy back there was 63. So you were never supposed to get there. And if you did, on average, you only collected Social Security for 2 or 3 years.
It was, well, now, it was really just a fail-safe, and now it's become the entire program, the entire plan.
It was a big social safety net, but now you can take it as early as 62, and if you start at 62, the statistics will tell you you'll get it until you're 85. Well, that's a quarter of your lifetime that you could be drawing Social Security. So the economics of it are dramatically different. It's a pay-as-you-go system. People that are there, you know, they take money out of our paychecks every paycheck, and that goes directly to retirees. Our Congress is very likely to figure something out over the next 10 or 15 years that is going to stretch the longevity of this program a very long time. But what it's probably going to mean is my nephew, who's already turned this podcast off, probably isn't going to be able to take Social Security at 65 or 62, and his full retirement age isn't going to be 67. It's probably going to be 70. So they're going to make those kind of changes for the younger people. I'm convinced that Social Security will be there for younger people. It'll just look different than it does today.
Yeah, it's going to morph and change, I would think, over time for sure. It has to. There's really no other way around it. But I also don't think it's just going to go completely away. There'd be quite the revolt if that happened. I think one of the big things, this isn't actually on our top five Social Security misunderstandings list, but one thing that took me a while to understand was when I first started working, I saw this money getting taken out for Social Security, and it was kind of explained to me as, yes, but you're going to get that back when you retire. So you kind of make this assumption that, oh, okay, so it's just going into some magical savings account that's going to be redistributed to me later on. And then you come to learn that, no, those dollars are being spent immediately in the system. So you're paying the current generation's Social Security. Someone else will be paying for us when we're a little bit older. At least that's kind of the design of it. And thus that leads to lots of the problems.
Yep.
It's an interesting topic. All right, so that's just one Social Security misunderstanding. Here's another one. Starting your Social Security as early as possible is usually the best. I know you've got a lot of people that walk into your door kind of assuming that that's the way to go.
They do, especially if they're getting sick of their job and they want to retire early. But it's almost the reverse of that. Typically, starting early is the worst thing that you can do because you can start at 62. The latest you can start and still have your Social Security get better is age 70. The amount that you would get if you waited till 70 is almost double monthly what you would get if you started at 62. So there are big benefits to waiting. But if you die young, if you die in your 70s, you are better off having started earlier. There are some nuances that might make me think, okay, there are other reasons why you'd start early. But the one reason that you definitely want to start early is, if you're convinced that your life expectancy is relatively short of average, so in your 70s, you're better off starting early. Otherwise, you're better off starting later.
We know the problem with a lot of these misunderstandings will be we don't know the answers to some of the variables, like how long we're going to live. Otherwise, this would be a really easy math equation to figure out. You have the flip side of this equation, of course, David, not the people that come in and say start as early as possible, but those who assume it's best to go the other extreme and say wait as long as you possibly can to get Social Security. That's the best route.
Yeah, so kind of as a corollary to what we just talked about, waiting the longest would be the worst idea if you died early because you don't have that many years to take money out of it. Like I mentioned before, Social Security gets no better after age 70. It doesn't grow anymore. So waiting till 71 is no better than waiting till 70. The one thing that I counsel a lot of my clients about waiting for, why that's a good thing, is let's just say you're a married couple. The surviving spouse, whenever the first spouse dies, the remaining spouse, and oftentimes that's the female, kind of the way it goes in America, the female gets the higher of the two Social Securities. So I have a number of clients, including myself, whose spouse is going to start at her full retirement age. Let's just call that 67 years old. But I'm going to wait. My plan is to wait till 70 because in my case, my spouse has a lot of longevity in her bloodline. So whenever I die, she will benefit from me having waited as long as possible, age 70, to get the highest amount of Social Security possible so that she can collect that into her 90s and maybe into her early 100s. I guess the answer maybe to all five of these, we're only through three of them, but the real answer to a lot of these is there are very few hard and fast rules for the generic retiree. It has a lot to do with you, your genetics, the amount of money you've already saved for retirement, and your feelings about taxes and Congress going forward.
Well, that's a great point, David, and I'll keep this brief and jump right into the next one, just in case, on the off chance your nephew has stayed with us to try and get all five of these Social Security misunderstandings under the belt here. The Social Security Administration can help you choose the best claiming strategy for yourself. That's an assumption that a lot of people have. Don't tell me that's a misunderstanding too, David.
Oh yeah, that's a misunderstanding. The Social Security Administration is there to give you some obvious choices, but they are in no way going to give you any advice or recommendations as to how to maximize the benefits you're going to receive from Social Security. First of all, it's not their job. Second of all, they probably don't have the knowledge or the software that it would take to help figure that out. So if you want advice on when to take Social Security, you need to find a firm like what I do, somebody in that business, in the retirement planning business, because the Social Security Administration is not set up to give you that type of advice.
We've been doing a lot of cooking with Blue Apron meals. Have you ever done the order meal kits and they send them to you and you cook them at home? Have you ever done one of those?
I haven't done one, but I know exactly what they are.
We love them. We really, it just being so busy, it just, you kind of know it's always going to take this amount of time to get them cooked, but you still feel like you made the dish and you're still doing some cutting and a lot of the prep and still doing the actual cooking. It's a lot of fun. I liken the Social Security Administration to like a Blue Apron or a HelloFresh. They're going to kind of give you the options and they're going to send you the stuff that you need to make the meal, but they don't know if I've got an allergy. They don't know if I have some clogged arteries and really shouldn't be ordering the beef and some of the other things that are available to me. That would be where I would need.
That is a terrific analogy.
You know what I mean? They're like, here you go, but they're not going to give me specific recommendations, although you really should order the vegan option. Remember, you can get those too, sir. You know, they're not going to say that. They're just going to say, hey, here's your menu, but they're not going to help me kind of pick and choose what are truly the best ones for me to do. So that's I kind of see that analogy working hand in hand there. One last misunderstanding here about Social Security we should cover on today's show. These are the top five, and this one is interesting as well, David. Maybe a big misunderstanding, maybe the biggest of them all. You don't have to pay taxes on Social Security benefits, right?
I do get that a lot, actually, mostly from younger people.
Because it feels like a tax when it comes out of your if you feel like you've already been taxed, essentially.
Exactly. And before 1982, Social Security benefits were not taxable. But Ronald Reagan convened this group that was supposed to help save Social Security way back then. And it's about time to reconvene another one of those. But one of the things they decided was, if you have what the government would classify as too much other income, then your Social Security is taxable. It gets a little bit into the weeds, but I want to tell our listeners what that income calculation is. It's called provisional income. Most people have never heard of provisional income, but it's kind of a side ledger that the IRS keeps track of to determine whether or not your Social Security is taxable. And here's how it works. If you add up your pension income, every penny that you've taken out of your 401k or your IRA that year, all interest, all dividends, and one half of your Social Security, and if you have a spouse, one half of his or her Social Security, add all that stuff together. If you're married, filing jointly, and that all of that adds up to less than $32,000, then your Social Security is not taxable. Most listeners to this show are going to say, $32,000? Well, that's not much retirement income, and you're right. If you're single, if you're filing single, and if it's under $25,000, your Social Security is not taxable. What that should tell most listeners to this podcast is your Social Security is going to be taxable. How much of it? Well, if that provisional income, the pension, the 401k withdrawals, interest, dividends, and half of your Social Security, if that adds up to more than $44,000 if you're married filing joint, or $34,000 if you're single in retirement, that's where 85% of your Social Security becomes taxable at whatever tax rate your marginal tax rate is in that given year. So the long and the short of that answer is, if you have saved well for your own retirement and it's not heavily in Roth IRAs, then your Social Security is going to be taxable. And probably one of the changes that are coming down the pike here over the next decade is that right now the most of your Social Security that can be taxable is 85% of it. Well, that's going to be 100% sometime before my nephew retires. Probably before I retire is the most of your Social Security that will be taxable is going to be 100%.
Interesting to look. So all these different Social Security misunderstandings are happening, David. Somebody comes into the office maybe believing one or more of these. I certainly know that you're going to then get people educated, make sure that they understand what's going on inside of their Social Security. But if somebody's just listening to today's show and they believe these kinds of things, I mean, where have they gone wrong? Are these just assumptions that have been baked into us? Is it the media pointing us in different directions? What has led to all this misinformation about Social Security, and can we do anything to address it?
I think it's, well, so education, financial education is the place to start. And frankly, nobody thinks about it in their 20s or 30s or 40s, and usually in their early 50s.
See,
so
that's why the nephew should be listening.
Right? So you're kind of, once you're in that retirement red zone, to use that football analogy, you get to be 60 or 61 or 62, and you're like, oh, well, all of a sudden, this is 5 years away. Now I need to start paying attention. And that's just kind of the way our brains work, especially if we're not financial people. So it really doesn't surprise me when I have conversations with people and they don't truly know how this works, but they're finding out. And then if they get some good advice, they're going to find out that there are ways to try to maximize Social Security to make it work for them, whether they've been terrific savers in the past or whether they haven't been very good savers, and Social Security is going to make up a fairly significant portion of their retirement income. There's something there for everybody. We didn't even talk about benefits. If you're divorced, there are special benefit carve-outs for you too. Oh, a whole nother podcast, Walter. Social Security divorce benefits. But anyway,
add it to the list.
Add it to the list. There are a lot of nuances with this, so it's not at all surprising that people who aren't in this business don't truly understand it. What you want to make sure, if you're in your early 60s or mid-60s, you just get some good advice to help you understand the best ways for you to maximize Social Security. Heaven knows you've been paying into it for long enough. Once you start getting benefits out, you just want to make sure that you have a strategy in place to maximize those benefits for yourself and your family.
If you have any questions about what we've talked about on today's show, you can always reach out with your questions to David and the team at KC Financial Advisors. 913-317-1414 is the number, 913-317-1414, or coveryourassetskc.com, the place to go online. And we'll put any links or pieces of information, resources that you might be interested in the description of today's show. Just check that for a link to the show notes related to this episode with lots of great information there for you to learn more. Or you can just access it all again online at coveryourassetskc.com. David, thanks for the show. Hopefully your nephew listened all the way through to the end. I still think it's helpful information for the youngsters among us out there. And we'll look forward to another great topic with you next week.
Thanks, Walter. I'll look forward to that as well.
Always a lot of fun. That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time right back here on Cover Your Assets KC.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.